Blog Talk Radio.
Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Yeah, shout out to Sanjay. Dog, we gonna make a way. Now sit back and listen to these bars I'm about to say. Hit the button, young, and get loose on that beat. We get it in the booth like we get it in the street. Yup, good night, end of my flight. Good morning, good evening. Best believe I tell you a story, you better believe it. If the world was in our palms, we break it in pieces. We a different kind of animal, take it or leave it. Heart frozen, cold blooded, we belong in a freezer. We hotter than the Bahamas on the beach with a heater. Yeah, call me Mr. Popular, can't see me with binoculars. Shout out to the haters and everybody who knocking us. Steady J got interviews, intermission and interludes. The baddest model chicks and the real rap spitting dudes. R&B and gospel and all of the above. And it's all in one show and it fits like a glove on the
life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Steady J, what's good, my dude? You keep doing what you're doing, fam. Keep showing love to all us unsigned artists, man. Good things gonna come back to you, homie. I salute you, B. Life after dust. Y'all now tuned in. Holla.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Life After Dust Live. I am your host, Ceddie J, and I got to say right at the top of the back, this person in the chat room, y'all are a fool. There's a person in the chat room, I don't know if I should utter the name they have. They have in here. They are ridiculous. They are ridiculous, man. So I don't even know if I want to even repeat it. It's crazy, but man, it's Monday. Y'all know how we do it every Monday. It is on Life After Dust Live. We have Hot After Dust, where we talk about hot news, hot music, hot this. Heck, and we have hot interviews. So today's going to be pretty interesting. Man, we got a very, very hot show in store for y'all today, in which today's show will be focusing on the UNT Hoodie March that actually took place at the University of North Texas in Denton. And it was actually inspired by two young students that decided that, you know, they wanted to do something about raising awareness about the Trayvon Martin case and this, you know, just really bring people together. And just not only just doing that, they wanted it to be a beginning of raising awareness of making sure injustice will not be tolerated, period. So I actually had a chance to participate in this march yesterday, and it was very, very, very great to be a part of, is to watch all those people of different races, different ages, there's just different walks of life just coming to get banded together and, you know, just saying that, hey, all these different people are saying we will not stand for this. So it was definitely something I'd say if you were in the area and you missed it, you definitely don't want to miss it again. Any chance you can get to do that. So I'm pretty sure there's other stuff coming up for y'all to get a part of to show your support and such. Because the thing is, people got to understand is, let it be like something that's just a short-lived thing. But, oh, okay, they did it now. I'm done. I'm going to keep it moving. No. This is the beginning. This is the kind of stuff that's the beginning, grassroots, of getting you to get in the mindset of not allowing this kind of stuff to happen again, period. So, definitely say I appreciate it. And this guy's wild. he's gonna say smell yo. He's weird. He said, apparently he says what awareness are they trying to raise? And to the whole world, are we aware of this? President Obama has already spoken on it. But no, the thing is, it's not only that big. Of course, everyone is aware, but in order to just band people together, because sometimes it's sad that it takes certain things like this in order for us to get band together on such issues, but it's a start. So we definitely can't wait to chop it up with them and see. That's kind of what inspired the start, in which it actually, the march had close to 700 people walking yesterday. So as I said, that's pretty much a great honor, the fact that they did it within a short amount of time. So big ups to them for doing it. Heck, we're going to go to some music. We come back for this quick song. We're going to go ahead and chop up some of the hot mess. I got a lot of hot mess for y'all today that I've already noticed. So you're right back. We're going to play Dickie Simmons, Copy Paste. Be right back on Life or the Death Live with your boy, Teddy J. Let's go.
It's Diggy, Queen. You with me? Yeah. Let's get it. Let's get it. Check my $1 million swag. I tell them 10 folk, cause they wanna copy that. In the mall, not a shopping bag. Baby girl, what you want? Your boy got the tab. If your man say where you at, I'ma tell him I ain't seen her. Better hit her on a jack. She gone for the evening. I make him lean back. Don Cartagena, yeah, you know what's up. Martin, Tommy, Gina, I'm the lead off like Derek Jeter. They copy my demeanor. They be jocking, I know they watching. I act like I don't see them, but Jeremy Scott on her. Louboutin, look like they got spots on her. My ratings is up, cause everybody watching in. I be VIP, you online with a rope. Biz, don't come any closer, you might step on my toes. Just ladies, it's your jam, leave your jacket on the sofa. Have a little class, put your glass up on a coaster. Get up on the flow, shake it like you supposed to. If you know you getting older, tell them,
welcome back to Life at Dusk Live. Your boy, Sonny J. That was Dickie Simmons, Copy Paste. All right, man. I got to say shout out to, I'm going to say his name just because, first off, I've been dying laughing just looking at it. And this dude's actually, I like when I see people in the chat that's really engaged and showing, you know, just really showing that they are paying attention. Shout out to, I'm to say it again, get out of my system. Smell your deep. He's in the chat room, and he's doing a lot of big things. I gotta say that I like the way he's engaging into the conversation as far as we were just talking about. And so I definitely would love to have him listening in later on to the show and the two young men on the show, so most definitely I'm glad to have him. And he is actually, crazy thing is, he's actually in Florida. And it's, I mean, I feel him on that, man. Like, it's a lot of crazy stuff going on, man. Like, some people are going to be, you were saying, like, how some people are going to turn into riots and violence, in which I was telling him how here yesterday, everything, it was so peaceful. And it was, like I said before, it wasn't just one type of race. It was actually a lot of different people. You can't really, it was like looking at a melting pot of people all banding together. That's the great thing about how it was here. And if that could only be the case in other places, it would be so beautiful, and especially doing it in such a peaceful way. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, you can, man. I'll actually give you the number as soon as we have you ready to come onto the show, so most definitely. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something, a hot mess or anything, which I got a bunch of it. All right, so first off, one of the big stories, well, I guess they're trying to get the big story or whatever. Drake apparently was talking to a European news affiliate, talking to them about how about his drug use, and how he was mentioning how because of the sport, the whole point having to deal with fame and whatnot, and how that has turned him and have to feel like he has to do recreational drugs, including marijuana and codeine. He admitted to doing those drugs. And yeah, matter of fact, the exact way it was, have I sipped codeine before? Yeah, of course. And then has he smoked weed? He said yes. And basically, like, my thing is, I put this one of the questions out there for everyone today to think about. Do you think that's a viable excuse? To say that, you know, if my life is going crazy, I need to do drugs. Do you necessarily think that's a viable reason? I can't really just say that it's, oh, let's go ahead and say, oh yeah, that's a good reason to do drugs. You know, you're doing the drugs. They're trying to legitimize it. It's for me to try to say, okay, well, yeah, because what it does is, just like when Lil Wayne was saying that one phrase, the "in my cup" thing, it goes back to that. Okay, let me go ahead and go to the phone line really quick. We got someone from the 561. You're on Life at Dusk Live, you poor City J. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. Glad to have you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Hey, you can call me Mark. You don't have to call me Smell Yogi.
Mark. Okay, what's up, Mark? Glad to have you, Mark.
Yeah, man. No problem. I just wanted to call in. I guess I was a little bit more interested. I guess you had a story about your whole march and everything. You were telling a little bit about it, but I was just kind of interested in that and just wanted to offer some thoughts.
The people that organized it will actually be on in about 15 minutes too. So you actually, when they come on too, you can actually share your thoughts with them too. But yeah, I actually got a chance to walk in it yesterday. It was definitely, like I said, it was a lot of places I heard, like, it wasn't as diverse. It was diverse here. I couldn't believe it. Like, so many different ages, races, just all kind of people. Just people that just like, hey, you know what? Let's all band together and really just not only just say, hey, the Trayvon Martin case is important. Yeah, I mean, of course, that was a focal point. But they also showed us the focal point on it being an issue about not allowing injustice, period, as far as children being, you know, people just being innocently killed, or that's stuff that's not going to be tolerated. Because I even mentioned on Twitter yesterday, you know, and I've mentioned this a bunch of times and on BBM, and I mentioned last week, people, how I feel at the end of the day, like, if we're going to stand for injustice against people being innocently killed, let's stand for it in every aspect, period, because it's still, at the end of the day, there's still people, there's some of these same people that's running around saying that, you know, it was that Trayvon shouldn't got killed. So they're the same people killing kids. So I feel like right. I put some type of weight behind that.
No, I definitely agree. I understand what you're saying. I think that's a good point to have on that. Because
don't kill kids, don't just kill kids, and then you run around, you're one of the people that's doing it every day.
Or you turn your back if it's an issue where, you know, it's a non, you know, if it's the problem I have with it is when you look at it and you got a black on black crime, and you know that's a news story that's skipped over for the most part.
Yeah, that's what I was telling people. That pisses me off. That, you know, let's be real. Even in the black community, let's be real. That if
right.
a person says that, if someone says, if something like that happens in the black community and it was another black person that killed the person, don't say anything about it. It's snitching if you tell who was doing it. And I have a problem with it.
Right, right. And on top of that, the way the whole case came out at first, they tried to make it seem like George Zimmerman was a white guy. And I don't know what the idea of was what that was for the media, but George Zimmerman is, I don't know if he's Cuban or he's Hispanic, I guess you could say.
He's
part Hispanic.
Part Hispanic, part white, exactly, yeah.
So,
his dad is white, his mom is Hispanic.
Right, so, I mean, I don't know why, if they're saying, well, it's a white-on-black crime, well, no, it's, I mean, if you want to start getting into the details on it, then you know it's a. Now we can say however you want to put it, it's a Hispanic on black crime or whatever you want to say. But I mean, I think it's the media is trying to sensationalize this to get people upset and yelling at one another.
Yeah, because they're doing it on both sides. It's so
right.
horrible. Yeah, because I mean, even like. Well, like Gerardo, so like that was driving me nuts. I was like, you know what, this dude's about to really drive me. They were really trying to demoralize this kid. Like they were really going, like let's really find out. He had done something to make this guy mad, some type of deal. And then, you know, they start looking for things that were totally irrelevant to the situation
right.
and trying to pull it to that against the kid. I was like, it's just. Getting crazy because, I mean, one of the things I don't like is that they continually, like, was the kid doing drugs, yada, yada, and we're not asking, they're not asking the right question about what was George doing? I mean, was he possibly doing drugs himself that he was not thinking in his right mind? Because,
well,
I mean, that's the thing, too. Has he had any... Like I keep trying to piece everything together. Has this guy had
right.
anything in the past that led him to doing what he did?
I can say from information that's currently out and available right now that there's a couple factors to that. One, and I'm sure you've heard this, Zimmerman in the last year called the police 46 times about issues going on around his neighborhood. There had been multiple break-ins in and around his neighborhood. And I imagine he had a feeling at this point, you know, this is call number 47 or call number 46 that he's making here, a feeling that, well, the cops are going to say, yeah, you know, we'll come out and we'll make a report. And, you know, he had a feeling probably going, well, nothing's going to happen again, so I need to go out here. And he probably had a feeling that he needs to protect his community. Now, I'm not saying it's right that he went out and shot the kid for that at all. But I think that this is a situation where you got two people. You got George here who decides he's going to sit here and protect his community. And you have a 17-year-old kid who probably had this guy come up to him and start questioning him or asking him, hey, what the hell are you doing here? And he probably got mouthy. I mean, I'm sure there was some fault with him, too, where he started saying, you know, oh, F you and all this. I could imagine. And they started arguing back and forth. And next thing you know, this guy has a gun. And when you have a gun, you know, who knows if they came to blows or what, but that's the thing that no one knows right now. But
right.
The next
and
thing you know,
most of the stuff that keeps coming out is that this dude didn't have any injuries or any apparent injuries. Let me say that. Because it's not like I'm looking at his body right now and go, oh, yeah, I see a bump right there. I'm not looking at his body right now. But this is going off of what most of the stuff he's saying, because there's something that's fabricated and they put out fake pictures and all this crap, whatever.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can't tell. I mean, because you'll have one source. I mean, I saw a source saying, well, there's no clear injuries. And then there's another source that came out today saying, oh, no, we did a high-resolution image on it, and we can see all the injuries he has. So it's changing back and forth. But I think the main issue here, all this could have been avoided had the cops been doing their job.
Exactly.
You know, if George had called and, you know, he felt like he got proper response time from his police department there, then guess what? This issue would have never happened because the cops would have known how to handle the situation better than this. I mean, he was probably one of these crazy gun nuts.
But the thing is, it just goes to show that, you know, it's like, I'm really distraught with George, but who I'm really more pissed off with is his department, because they're hiding. It's like, why are they trying so hard to cover him up? Like, they're, like, hiding. Like, it scares you because it's like, what the hell else is this dude doing? Because that could be an issue too. He could have done some other crazy stuff that we don't know of because they're hiding this. What else are they hiding from us?
Yeah. Well, and on top of that,
it might not even be George. It might be, you know, you watch some of the crazy shows and whatnot, cop shows and whatnot, where they're trying to hide something about one person because they don't want stuff that's coming out about them to come out. So that's what I worry about too.
Well, there's that. I also think that, you know, as far as if you want to do point and blame, I mean, that's – like I said, I don't – by no means I think it's right that he shot the guy at all. But on the other side, I mean, the other part that you want to look at is, where the hell were the parents at for Trayvon? I mean, they got the kid out – and I know he's a 17-year-old kid and he can be out doing stuff, but what's he doing out running around at night like that? And I know that he was going down the store to get whatever, but...
me being a person that I do that myself, I do that myself at my age, sometimes you're feeling for, like, a snack that you really want. You're like, oh, my God, I want to go get me a Jungle Juice and a bag of chips. And so you're like, well, hell, the store's open down the street, you walk through it. I can't drive, whatever. And I'm walking, and I'm coming back with my stuff in my hand, and then all of a sudden, I'm looking that crazy. Even to go somewhere I was profiled one time where, because the one store, he apparently got, you know, he's been robbed a couple of times or whatever. Okay, cool. I understand, but don't come at me with that stuff there, because this dude, I come to the store all the time. When I stay in the area, I used to go to the store all the time, and I always show them the utmost respect. I always say hello to him. Always, you know, I'm just one of those kids that's always a good kid. And one day he tried to double charge me for something. Like, I already paid myself. I walked at the store.
Right.
And he was trying to double charge. He was like, you didn't pay for that. I was like, I just paid you. Because, of course, this is one of those stores that don't give you receipts, so you get screwed. And so, I already paid for this. You know, I'm sitting looking crazy. So I had to go, after I paid the dude, because I really want my ice cream that bad, I went and told my mom. My mom, can I go up there? And she basically talked to him. But she talked to him about how he was wrong for that, because he was like, well, I thought he may have stolen it. Now, this guy's known me for years upon years, and now all of a sudden he thought I was stealing something from his store. Like, it goes back to that point where people continually get profiled over some crazy stuff because of what some people have done. It's like, you just don't stereotype people. Like, because that's anything. Heck, I mean, if that's the game we're going to play about clothes and stuff, it's like, No, it's kind of the same thing what happened when anytime someone saw a Caucasian kid walk around in a trench coat, everybody's like, "Oh my God, he might have guns in his jacket now." I remember that was a big thing that was going on when the Columbine situation happened. I saw it happen in my
right.
Old school. There was one Caucasian kid walking around in a trench coat. He wasn't any threat to anyone, but some people wanted to be stupid and go, "Well, man, I'm gonna watch out for him now, man. He might have guns in his jacket." People automatically start doing it in the same way with
right.
him did he.
Well, profiling,
it's,
I mean,
it's getting crazy.
That, yeah, and I mean, profiling something that's going to happen. I mean, that happens every day, regardless of, I mean, everyone profiles. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But I think that a lot of things that have happened in this are unfortunate. It's unfortunate the kid is dead. It's unfortunate that the cops weren't there responsive enough to the liking that Zimmerman and Trayvon met. And then I think the other thing that's bad is, you know, that kind of incited the whole thing and was President Obama coming out and speaking without knowing all the facts. I mean, he didn't have to come out and start talking. He doesn't even know the case. And for him to speak on some local, at that time, some local news story, that to me was, I mean, that was really uncalled for. And then of course, then they started flying down the poverty pimps. And I mean, when I say that by, you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, these guys are just doing anything they can to try to exploit this family just to get some TV face time. I mean, I think all this could have been avoided if we, you know, we need to have the justice system looked at here on this and really examined, because there's a much bigger issue than, you know, one, this kid got shot. That needs to be the first thing. But two, I mean, what the hell is going on where we have people thinking that they can take the law in their own hands nowadays?
Yeah, everyone's running around. They think we're back in the Wild West now, like running around being gunslingers. You know, all right. And just like I was talking about yesterday, it was yesterday. Here in the area, this I want to say he was 16-year-old Latino kid got gunned down by a bunch of 14-year-olds. I can't tell people, like I mentioned it yesterday. I tell people, I honestly don't know how I feel about guns. Like, every time it's like people are trying to defend guns, it's like the people, I keep trying to figure out what viable reason can you give me for guns? Because people, I mean, besides going hunting and getting food and stuff, what reason can you give me for having guns? Because so many people are just are misusing these weapons that it's getting out of hand. Like I said, what the heck were 14? Why the hell were 14-year-olds running around with guns anyway? And then they just decided that we're gonna gun down somebody for the hell of it, or whatever. He may have looked at me the wrong way one day, or whatever.
Right, or you said the comment to his girlfriend in Facebook or something.
Yeah, like to someone. Matter of fact, I know one time it was one. I can't remember. Well, actually, one of my teammates who actually he died on prom night. He died on my prom night. It was so crazy. So I'm at prom and everything, and of course, you know, after prom, everybody goes their own separate ways. This dude was
right.
at a party, and he gets gunned down from yards away. So this person, whoever this person was, they used something that had a nice red sight on it, because they hit the guy in the chest, in the head, and then they hit, and then because they were trying to hit him, they actually hit this girl that happened to be with him, his date for the prom. So it just goes to show, I really can't justify guns. I really can't.
Well, I definitely think that there's a place for guns. I own several guns myself, but I'm a responsible owner, and what I mean by being responsible is that I'm not running around, you know, showing off my guns. I keep them.
It's so many people that's misusing them. They make people that aren't running around being gunslingers for the hell of it look bad. That's what
pisses. You're right.
And I understand that's why people that get so mad about all these new gun laws and so out of hand. I understand their pain, but it's the back end of that is that it's so many idiots that's just screwed up for y'all.
Now, I do agree with that because, I mean, I'll guarantee you, and, I mean, here's, you know, I said about profiling. I mean, here's me profiling right here. But the Zimmerman, to me, he looks like a guy that, you know, first of all, there's a lot of stories saying, you know, he wanted to be part of law enforcement and he really wanted to be in law enforcement and try to be a police officer and all this stuff. I'm willing to bet this guy got that gun or probably had several guns. I don't know. But, you know, he strikes me as one of these guys, and I'm sure you've heard it. You're down there in Texas. You've heard some of these crazy guys that have guns where they're like, man, I just wish someone would come on my property so I could shoot them. You know, I wish someone would come. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that before, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard stuff like that plenty of times.
And, I mean, that's scary when you have people talking like this because I hope to God I never have to – nothing ever comes like that to me. But, you know, these people, I mean, I don't think they fully understand what it means to take somebody's life. And, I mean, it's not a joke. It's not a game. It's not TV.
Yeah,
I mean,
they think they're in the wild. Like I said, they think they're in the Wild West, man. Like, this is not
right.
This is not the Lone Ranger.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, you just go around and shooting whoever. Oh, right. Everyone's all of a sudden, let's take it into our own hands and let's just take lives because we can.
Right. Right. So, but yeah, like I said, I mean, it's just the bottom line, and the only thing I can say, I mean, it's a tragic event that I feel could have been prevented had the cops been doing their job. And, you know, on top of that, I mean, there's really not much else I can say on it other than that, you know?
Right. I want everyone to really look at this and just really think to yourselves, like, are you going to allow people to get, are you going to allow this foolishness like this to happen, period? Like, and do it in a peaceful way. That's what the problem happens. It gets distorted and it doesn't get solved when people want to run around and be not necessarily being peaceful. When it's a band of people being coming at it a certain way, it's going to get done.
Right.
One way or another, it's going to get done. Sometimes it's going to take. Sometimes it might not be as fast as you wanted to, but heck, it's going to get done. And
right.
And that's the whole point. Like, what I kept trying to challenge people to is as well, start doing stuff for yourself locally. Because some people wait for national news and start feeling like, oh, okay, you know what? I'm mad about the situation. Let me start doing something about it. While you're not even doing it in your own neighborhood, that's what the problem
right.
is. There, people wait till they can do something in their own neighborhood.
No, and that's what you got a good point right there about, you know. You need to pay attention to your own neighborhood and everyone, whether you have an apartment or own a home or whatever, you need to have a sense of community and talk with your neighbors because they're going to be your best. I mean, that's the best alarm system right there. And I'm not saying that this is anything going on the Martin Zimmerman issue. This is just in general, you know.
Exactly.
People need to have a sense of community and, you know, watch out for your neighbors. You know, someone's gone for the weekend. You know, watch out for them. You know, you see them not there or something. Go check on them, say hey or whatever, and talk with them. You know, do a neighborhood watch. I mean, that's also something that people can do. If you see a car that you don't know who they are, go over there and see what's going on. You know,
a lot of people have got to that point where they decide in their mind that. You know what? I'm worried about myself. So many people are worried about themselves instead of, you know, looking out for other people. Like, if I want to, I'll look out for them when I feel like it. I don't necessarily have to. Great power
right.
comes great responsibility, people. I know that Spider-Man phrase been beat to death, but it's true. Great power truly comes great responsibility. So that's something to think
right.
about, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, on top of that, I think that, you know, a lot of stuff, I mean, if people start watching out for each other, you know, you see a car or anything in your neighborhood and you're like, I don't know who the hell that is, you know, there's nothing wrong with calling the police and having them go check it out. I mean, don't run down there with a gun yourself. But, I mean, call the police and have them go down there and check it out. If it's, you know, if they're stranded or something, then you're helping them out anyway. So.
All right. So we're going to come back after this on quick track. This is a perfect track. Michael Jackson, Black or White, and then we'll be back. And we should have my guest for today on the show in a bit. So yeah, hang in there. Man, definitely appreciate you, Mark, for coming through, man. Definitely hang out. Well, you can hang out with me on the show. I'm here for the rest of the remainder of the show and whatnot. And y'all, if y'all miss any parts of the show, you can always check it out at blogtalkradio.com/SettyJ, or you can also check it out on iTunes, back in Life of the Dust Live. And iTunes is for free for those that keep asking. All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah. What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Red Shades. And when I'm not writing songs or directing music videos, I'm tuning in to my boy, Steady J, on Life After Dusk and The Dusk Spot. Make sure you check out his website on duskowls.ning.com. Become a member right now. All right, y'all.
What's up, everybody? This is G-Man.
It's Shy Baby.
And whenever I'm not listening to the Bon Vivant mixtape,
I'm listening to Life After Dusk live on Blog Talk Radio in The Dusk Spot.
Hello, everybody. This is Miss Computer Lady, WMCL. And whenever I'm not busy, I tune into Life After Dusk Live with Ceddie J on The Dusk Spot.
Hey, what it do, man? This your homeboy, Six Figures, man, all the way from the West Coast, California. You understand that? And whenever I'm not in the studio, man, I'm sitting back chilling, man, listening to Life After Dusk live on Ice Radio USA and The Dusk Spot. Ceddie J, I see you, man. Yay!
All right. And welcome back. We're back in the building, y'all. Man, this show has been crazy so far. I got to say, big ups to Mark, man, for coming through and sharing his thought process on everything that is going on with that. And he's actually in Florida, so he needs to see this stuff firsthand. So, man, more power to you, man, having to see this stuff firsthand. All right, we're about to go ahead and go to my caller. That's actually my boy right there, my boy Troy's in the building. What's up?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. Glad to have you on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we actually, you know, so far, man, we chopped up a little bit. That was our personal thought process about what was going on for the whole entire Trayvon Martin case or whatnot, and some of the news stuff that surfaced, and just some of the propaganda that's been put in the news. Now, one of the reasons that you're on the show today was, for those of y'all that are tuning in, yesterday the UNT Hoodie March took place, and it's actually something that you were one of the people that helped organize. Kind of tell us, like, about it, like, because y'all did it within a short amount of time as well, so I was very impressed by that. Kind of tell us the reason why you felt like this was something that needed to be done at UNT.
Well, basically, the original idea came from one of the other students named Bridget Berry, who called me last Thursday and basically just said, you know, this is something that we definitely need to do. And we definitely just felt that it was something that if we allow something like that to happen all the way in Florida without so much as an uproar here, then we're saying that it's okay for something like that to happen in Denton. So we just felt that it was extremely important to show the student body that we can't let something like that happen.
Exactly. And what I have to say is, I said back to the point where I was impressed by, like you said, Thursday. You talked to him Thursday, and after they actually did an estimated number. It was about 700 people there yesterday.
Right.
And what I loved about it was it wasn't just like, you know, a lot of areas, it was kind of one-dimensional, the marches, but here it was like everyone of all different types of races, ages, different types of backgrounds, all banding together to come and support this. Like, how did that feel for you to see that?
Well, I mean, it was important for us to make sure that when we were publicizing it, that this is not something that's just about black or white. It's about the difference between wrong and right. And that's the most important aspect of it, because it is a race issue to a certain extent, but the larger picture is that it's a human rights issue, and that it's so important that everybody get involved in something like this, because it could have really been anybody. It extends beyond race, because it's the most basic definition between right and wrong.
Exactly. And something in the area happened, not necessarily a cop, but it was this 16-year-old that actually died yesterday, actually died this weekend. He was gunned down by a bunch of 14-year-olds. And I was actually talking to one of the callers earlier, how people just really just going crazy with guns. Like, there's people who have guns and doing the right thing, but I don't understand all these innocent lives being taken just because somebody feels that they can just take a law into their own hands or whatnot.
Right. And I mean, I feel like a large responsibility to that is to our legal system, because if the citizens don't feel as though the legal system is doing the job, or they don't feel like they're going to get consequences from that aspect of law, then why fear doing taking the law into your own hands if you don't feel like anything's going to happen? And that's the message that's being sent by an event like this.
Right. People like, I mean, stuff like Casey, because people want to start thinking about stuff, another case, which is not a black or white issue. It's a right or wrong issue, which taking away race and all that stuff from it. Casey Anthony, second time in Florida, I don't understand what the heck is going on in Florida. The message that's going on in some of the police departments down there, but her getting off and, you know, what the heck happened with her, man? Like, her child dying, that drove me nuts. Like, when I watched that case and I saw that she got off, I was like, is this what the justice system is trying to tell us now? Then this happens to Trayvon Martin. Like, it's no accountability being taken place down there.
Well, see, the thing, I feel like the biggest difference there is that at the least, she was given her day in court, you know, and was acquitted, whereas Trayvon's killer, just along the lines of Emmett Till, he hasn't even been arrested. He hasn't even been interrogated. Nobody is pursuing him. And I feel like that's the larger problem at this point.
Exactly. And if somebody made a matter of fact, you said Emmett Till, someone made a point that they said at least the difference between this case and Emmett Till, at least there was an arrest made. There's not even an arrest being made in this case. And it's sad to look at it. It's, what, 2012? We still have problems like this?
Right.
So, whoo, man. yesterday, because I had a chance of walking in, I was just blown away. Because, matter of fact, you know, I was actually one of the person I was walking by alongside. That's what I liked about it, too. Like, you get to really talk to people and see what they thought, what their thought process of this whole entire issue was in this world, period. And there's actually a Caucasian dude was walking alongside of me. Me and him walking. He's kicking this soccer ball next to me. And he was sharing, like, his thought process and the whole thing, and he was talking about how Savannah, Georgia is still so highly segregated. Like, compared to Texas being compared to that is, it's like a Skittle compared to what's going on in Savannah. So it's definitely crazy to see that from the eyes of different races telling us that, man, it's still crazily segregated in Georgia still to this day.
Right. I mean, it's just very clear that a lot of people feel as though in our generation that because we have a black president that we have arrived, and it's just very clear that we have it. And I feel like another aspect of why we did this is because it was important to us to make sure that awareness of the issue got out, just to show some of the difference in just to show that we haven't gotten to where it is that we think that we do. I'm going to turn it over to Brederick to speak a little bit on, you know, the process of how it all came together and everything, if that's all right.
All right. That is fine.
Brederick Barron speaking.
All right. How are you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing?
Not much, man. I just got to dig you up, man, for putting that together, you know, for bringing that to everyone and saying, let's make this happen, man. It was definitely something I was very happy to be a part of.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for having me on the show.
So, since you actually were the originator of the idea to start this, like, what was the turning point for you that said, this needs to happen at UNC, like, this weekend?
I was just doing my own personal research on the issue and on, you know, everything that was going on, and I began listening to the YouTube calls and the different evidence that was presented, and it just outraged me because my own personal younger brother is 17 years old, and so when I actually listened to the calls and I heard the screams, all I could legitimately think about was my little brother being tortured. So it just kind of really all brought it home to me or whatever, and I don't know. I just was like, hey, man, we need to do something. And then I actually got, like, I was on Twitter, and I tweeted Free from the former host of 106 and Park, and I tweeted Diddy. And I was like, you know, celebrities are all on the Stop Coney bandwagon. Where y'all now for Trayvon Martin? And Free tweeted me back and was like, that's not the way to do it, but baby, what are you doing? And so it kind of just made me think, like, you know, I can do something, you know what I'm saying? Even though, yes, they have a great voice for me, but I do have a voice and I can do something. So I immediately contacted Troy and one of the other students, Forrest, and we just got to work on it and got it going.
Right, and like I said, and I've said it, I can't stress enough on how y'all took that, and there were close to 700 people there, and over something y'all just blasted on Twitter, and this happened Thursday, y'all put it out there, and this weekend is like, wow, Sunday hits, in which I got to say, I wonder, what one funny thing I found out of it was, I was on Twitter, and I looked, and I said, hold on. They want us to wear hoodies on what? I feel like this got the April Fool's joke. They want us to wear hoodies on Sunday and it's hot as heck. But it was something I definitely couldn't wait to do because I was glad to be a part of something, just watching all those people that was there. And most of the black folks were on time. We got to definitely put that out there. Shout out to that. So,
Yes, sir.
Most definitely, I liked about it was there was one woman, she had water. She didn't have like, it wasn't like she had hundreds of things of water to get ready, but the fact that she even did that, I have to say that was very great of her to have done. The woman that was in she was in the Prius.
That was not planned at all, so we were extremely grateful for her effort.
And I like the fact that the police department had a big hand in it, too, because that shows that people, because some people are going to take it to think that now don't trust police, period. Like, let's not do that. Let's not run around and start scared and start getting scared, so let's not trust the police.
Right. And, I mean, that kind of just showed, I feel like then police kind of just showcased what all they were made of because, it showed that, yes, we are doing our job here. Yes, our community is doing what they're supposed to do here. So I feel like it was a great look, and we were greatly appreciative of how supportive they were of the march.
Most definitely. And like I said, like the caller was on earlier, he was touched by the fact that it was diverse. Like, I know it got local television coverage, but I wish it had national television coverage so people would be able to see that, okay, it's not, like you said, it's not a black or white issue. It's a wrong or right issue. And that told me that many people agree with y'all that this is something that has to be done. Like, we will not tolerate injustice, period. The Trayvon Martin thing is just the beginning of paying attention to it.
Right, and I think that was the beauty of, kind of the inside beauty of the march, because it was people of all backgrounds, of all races, of all, you know, even different age groups that assembled together to say, like, this is wrong and this must stop. And, I mean, I don't know, it just kind of really, you know, really touched me personally when I, you know, kind of stepped back outside and looked at the many people that was marching. And it was just like, wow, like, all of these people care enough. You know what I mean? And
it's like people
care.
When he was walking and all the people just came out of nowhere, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was truly amazing, and it's something that I will personally remember for the rest of my life.
Definitely. What I wanted to say is, because being part of the Mean Green community, you know, what I loved about it was something that brought unity, a strong united point to the UNT community again, because it hasn't really been I've said this so many times over and over and over to my peers that I feel that as a community here at UNT that to some extent we're not as unified as we used to be. And that's what I liked about yesterday. It really brought everybody together to say, man, like, we really let's all really start mingling with each other and just watching out for each other and standing against issues like this. And I'm sad. I'm sad that it had to be someone's life had to be taken for it to happen. But at the same time, I'm glad that somebody, that something got done about it. That's basically how I feel about it.
Yeah, and I totally agree. You know, well, of course, people always tend to, you know, kind of dabble with those who look like themselves, but I just feel like it was just a great ordeal to see people not only gather, but to gather for a cause, gather for a purpose.
Most definitely. And, okay, so as far as, like, closing thoughts or whatnot, because, I mean, like I said, y'all were on, not only were you on NBC5 yesterday, NBC5 here in Dallas, but you were also on, you were on the front page of the Denver Record Chronicle as well. Because I know my friend, he was hitting me, like, my friend reads the paper every morning. He got it, like, right when the paper hit, and then he tweets me out of nowhere. He was like, oh, man, y'all know that the march was on the front page? And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, crap, it was on the front page. So I'm just glad people really see that, you know, really taking that to heart, that this is a serious issue.
Right.
So as far as, like, now that y'all done this, like, what's, like, the call to action to continue to bring unity to the campus like y'all did yesterday?
First off, you know, we just have to continue to progress as far as being a unified black community, and it just unified students as a whole, starting with being involved in other organizations and building friendships and relationships with each other, so that when issues like this do come up, it's not a hard thing for us to bond and come together once again. As far as, I guess, recent issues outside of Trayvon Martin, of course, we have the upcoming election coming up, so, you know, a lot of people will be gathering and trying to make sure people are actually using their right to vote, and just making sure that we as students, our voices are heard on this campus and that our presence is felt. So.
Well, I definitely say, once again, I got to thank you both for stepping through to the show and just basically, like, sharing your thought process and, like, your passion for starting this, man.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for having us once again. We appreciate it.
Well, definitely. All right, so everyone, you can always let everyone, because I know y'all also, I got Twitters, too. Y'all can go ahead and share y'all Twitters with everyone to follow y'all, because y'all definitely some people that are worth following. Anybody that can start, that can be a leader in such things like this, need to be followed.
Right. Well, my Twitter is, they can follow me on Twitter at King, K-I-N-G, underscore Barry, B-E-R-R-Y. That's King underscore Barry. And Troy's Twitter is Trojan Man of Troy. That's T-R-O-Y. Trojan Man, sorry. T-R-O-J-N-M-A-N underscore 0-F-T-R-O-Y. Trojan Man of Troy. Follow me.
All right, man. Most definitely. And all right, anyone, if you miss any parts of the show, you can always check it back out going to blogtalkradio.com/SettyJ, or if you type in, if you go to iTunes and type in UNT Hoodie March, pound sign UNT Hoodie March, it'll actually pop up on iTunes, and you can listen to it for free as much as you want to.
Oh, cool.
So there you go.
Bam. All right.
And that'd be on there in about 15 minutes. So there we go. That being said, we are rolling on out. Go ahead. Y'all have any shout-outs y'all want to give back? Go ahead and shout-out to people out.
Shout out to UNT. That's about it.
All right. All right, we're rolling on out. All right, as we're rolling out, everyone, we're going to remind you, everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, remember, or there's a Jane, or there's a Troy, or there's a Bridget, or there's a you, there is a way. Y'all tune to another episode of Life at the Dust Live with your boy Setty J. We'll see y'all on Wednesday and Thursday, of course. Tomorrow show, you know, every Tuesday we have TP3 Radio. Check them out. Three lovely young ladies that definitely hold it down and do such a great job in what they do. All right. We're going on out. In the words of Chris Brown, deuces.